Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own, and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the community-wide Pure Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
We'll make soon, and then we'll come back for the second call.
Everyone, assalamu alaikum. We're connected with the Tampa Bay Area Muslim Association. Imam Abdul Salam Hamid will be the khatib, and they're making the sunnah rakats right now, the personal prayers, and they'll come back with the second call. All right, thank you so very kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Second call.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي للصلاة حي للصلاة حي للفلاح حي للفلاح Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Love day and the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki yawmiddin. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahda la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluhu. It is all praise is due to Allah, the Lord, and cherisher of all the world's systems of knowledge. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship but Allah alone. I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad is Allah's messenger to the world, to all humanity. Dear believers, we greet you with the greetings of peace of Assalamu Alaikum. Again, we are grateful to be in your presence again for this Juma. Allah says, when the call is proclaimed to prayer on Friday, that's the reading in English, but when the call is proclaimed, hasten earnestly to the remembrance of Allah. Leaving off traffic, all traffic, when it's proclaimed. And we are grateful for this, and it is an idea, it is a concept, it is a way of life, a practice for us And there's a sign for us, at all times we should leave off everything, everything, to make sure that we follow the guidance that Allah has come to us with by sending his prophet, Muhammad, over 1,400 years ago, over 600 years after Esau. We have to remember that, 600 years or so after Esau, where the world had a light for a while, and so it went out. It's after Esau, after Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So this message came. Allah blessed the prophet, his prophet, Muhammad, as he has blessed each one of us, because as Muhammad would say, peace be upon him, he says that I am a flesh and blood human being just like you. So we are grateful to Allah. Allah has given to us this call to prayer. And this is what brings us back to ourselves. This is the guidance. The guidance comes right in the prayer, in the call, the adhan, that we realize Allah is Akbar in every area, in the every area of our life. Allah is Akbar, the creator. Nothing, there's nothing like unto him. So we are grateful. We are grateful for this. We thank Allah for the opportunity of being here. We thank Allah for those who are with us today. We pray for those who are sick, shut in, those who are oppressed, persecuted through the land, those who are suffering disasters throughout the world, those who are striving and working towards peace, peace in the world and towards all humanity. We pray for those who are sincere, in their efforts of following the command of Allah. And this will go with our subject for today. It says our subject for today is hold firmly to faith. Hold firmly to faith for the best reward from your Lord. Again, hold firmly to faith for the best reward from your Lord. Allah has given us guidance. Allah has given us guidance. Guidance throughout the history of humanity. If since the garden, Allah placed us in the garden, place of growth. Each one of us, we don't just look at a place in the east, some little place that we look at physically, but physically represents something more important, than just looking at a physical thing. The womb is a garden. That's a garden. That's a place of work, of growth. Everything Allah has created, and he has sent to us signs in this book, in this Quran that he's given to us. And this is the book of light, the book of light that enlightens us during the time of our darkness. And it is called the period of the period of enlightenment is this period, revelation being revealed to Prophet Muhammad in the month of Ramadan, which is fastly approaching. It was revealed during that month. And it took 23 years for it to be completed. And Allah say, I have completed my favor upon you after that period. And it's arranged gradually in stages. Allah has revealed it. And isn't that the stage for human beings? Isn't that the stage for every life? That Allah reveals it step by step, stage by stage, and develops it and grows it and nourishes it to its growth. So this topic for today, hold firmly for the best reward from your Lord. And the faith. Faith is that which we hold for, that we trust in. We can't have faith if we don't obey. If we don't obey something, we have to obey some laws in order for us to show that we have faith. So hold firmly to faith. And we would like to read from the Quran verses from the second surah, Baqarah. We will read verses 62 and 63. And it begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Ayat 62. Those who believe in the Quran and those who follow the Jewish scripture and the Christians and the Sabians, any who believe in Allah and the last day and work righteousness shall have their reward with their Lord. On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. Ayat 63. And remember, we took your covenant, and we raised above you the towering height of Mount Sinai. That's in parentheses. We took your covenant, and we raised above you. Something is above us. Something is above us, and we are under something, and we are under the command of Allah. So the towering height of Mount Sinai, that's what Moses came back with for his people. It says, covenant says, hold firmly to what we have given you and bring ever to remembrance what is therein. Perchance you may fear Allah. That's the last word, the last word, perchance you may fear Allah. So if we cannot fear Allah, we can't have faith. We will not have faith unless we have fear of Allah. And that's consciousness, regardfulness to Allah. And not just regardfulness, but obeying Allah. In this verse, it is a book that is revealed for humanity, all of mankind. Quran is a recital. It is a reading. It is a proclamation to the world to bring us out of the darkness and give us light. And it starts off by saying those who believe in the Quran. In fact, it says those who believe. And there's a parenthesis that says in the Quran. That's in parenthesis. And I read very little Arabic, but I see on that side with the Arabic, it is not the word Quran. It's not listed there. It's not printed there. So it says those who believe. Believe me, this is not just a book for Muslims. This is not a book just to the Christians. It says those who believe in the Quran, those who believe. And the believers, the ones who believe in the commands, in the order of Allah. We have to believe in something. And then say those who believe. It says in parentheses in the Quran. And it says following those who follow the Jewish scriptures. It doesn't say Jewish. It says those who follow a way of God. A certain guidance. It's a guidance. Those who follow the guidance. And that was for the Jewish people who lost their light, who was in the darkness as well. Those who follow the command. And it's revealed to those that were revealed, that Prophet Muhammad revealed to, and we're called Muslims. And we say for the Quran, those who follow the Quran, those who follow the Jewish scriptures. It says, and the Christians. And the Christian, it doesn't say Christian per se. What it has on the other side is Christian is Ansaris. Those are the helpers. Those who are the helpers in the Bible, in getting the word of God out. Those are the helpers. And it says the Sabians are the people of Scripture. So we got all the people who say that they are following a faith, a way of life, a deen, Muslims, Christians, and Jews, Sabians, anyone. And that's what Allah says in this Quran, this book, this revelation. It says, any, whatever you follow, Muslim, Christian, Jew, agnostic, atheist, whoever you are, any who believe in Allah, This the best explanation we can say for believing in Allah is Creator. There's no other name but Allah. There's nothing like Allah. We can say those who believe in God. God is a name that is used. And Allah says there's every name, whatever name you call him, it is well. It is well. Whatever your name you give, you call him, it is well. But we want to make sure we have the right idea or the best idea. And the best idea is the idea of truth, or that Allah is the creator. There's nothing like it to him. foolish ones may name their baby Allah. You won't find too many. If you do, foolish ones. But they say, any who believe in Allah, those who follow truth, And it is not for us to say what is the truth. Truth is there's many truths. In fact, in this the documents of the United States, it says we hold these truths to be self-evident. Truths, it says, in plural, but truth, not truths. It's one. We say Allah is Akbar. Allah is absolute. There's nothing like unto him. So I might say something that I might say true, but it's not absolute. When we can determine, and we can have the feeling, our faculties used in the best way that Allah has given to us for the guidance, whenever we can get in our faculties that we can have make sense of what we are getting, we have no excuse to say whether or not we knew what the truth was or not. Allah created us, and as my mom said, he knows all about us. God created us, and Allah created us all to know what that truth is. So we have to hold firmly to what Allah has given to us and the truth of what we are, being true, hold firm to that. Because we say it in our dance. Allah is Akbar. Allah is greater in every aspect, in every corner of the world, in the business world, government, in the cultures, in education. Allah is Akbar. Allah is Akbar. That's truth. That's truth that we must deal with. So Allah says, believe in Allah and the last day. That means the consequences. Believe in Allah and the last day. What does that? That means that we're going to have a consequence for everything that we say we believe in. If we say we believe in Allah, we bear witness to that. That's a shahadatain that we do. We bear witness of Allah and His messenger. We do this, and this is going to be this is the absolute truth for us. This is to determine whether or not we are believers or not in Allah. We believe in the last day. If we believe in the last day, what is that? This is the judgment that we're going to be judged accordingly to what it is that we've done in this world. The message is simple. This is a book that's basic or fundamental. Basic and fundamental. It's very simple. It's very simple. Some people say, oh, it's deep. It's deep. But look, we have to think deep. We have to go deep into our side, inside of us, in order to us to realize, you know, just how simple it is, how fundamental this way of life is. And Allah has made it where it's not hard. He said he has made it the Quran. This is what Allah sent down to us. He's made it easy to read and understand. What is the Quran? The Quran is a revelation. And the revelation is that which reveals. It reveals to us just who we are and what we are. And it's easy. Allah has made it easy to understand. Babies know exactly what it is that to be understood. The little toddler, 2-year-old, the 3-year-old, the 5-year-old, the 10-year-old, all of us know at whatever stage of it, Allah has created us, he endowed us with all this, with this knowledge, with this selfishness, that we'll realize what it is that we're doing. And if we don't realize it, we're going to have a feeling if we don't see it and know for sure. But we will know for sure. We will know for sure what it is that we're doing just because of our conscience and our say those who tremble, that we tremble sometimes, and it shakes us whenever we know, whenever we are getting close to something that's displeasing to Allah, that's not in accord with Allah, that is false, that is away from it. So we shake within that. So we believe in Allah in the last days. Whatever book you have, Jews, Christians, Muslims, believe in Allah in the last days. And work righteousness. What is righteousness? Just standing up, looking with my hands folded and crossed and just saying amen and hallelujah. Righteousness is working in that which is in the nature, working with the nature and keeping everything in its proper order and context. Making everything used for the purpose of what it's created for. I would make a chair and then use that chair for a refrigerator. That doesn't make sense. Thing has its purpose. Everything has its use, and its right purpose. So that's righteousness. Keep things in this proper place. Love is good, but you don't just love indiscriminately. We have rules. We have rules for everything. Everything has an order. There's law in everything. There's a science for everything. And that's what makes sense. Our conscience lets us know. It makes sense. That comes with the word conscience. Sense with science. With science. Allah created us with that. So he's created us and he's created everything that we may have guidance in this way of life. So work righteousness. And it says if we work righteousness, do things in the right way, be truthful to ourselves. If we're not, it'll know, and we'll know. We'll know, and then others will know. There's an accord out right now. An accord for peace in the world, in the Middle East, they say. And I'm not the God, the creator of all of it. I'm not the one that determines this. But we know the pattern of all these different pacts that they make. We know the pattern. They say one day, the next week is something else, and somebody else won't accept it. So don't get fooled. Allah says, be not deceived. Let not the chief deceiver deceive you about Allah. Don't be deceived. If we do, we're doing it at our own peril. We're doing it at our own peril to be deceived. And we allow ourselves to be deceived. And it's not anyone's excuse. We can't say about it, if the imam taught us right or the reverend taught us right. Allah has created us right. He's created us and he's created in the Bible. It is good. Everything he created, it is good. It is good. So we have to work righteousness, and we'll have our reward. It will have, when we do that, then it will have their reward with their Lord. their Lord. Your Lord, my Lord, is the same Lord that created you and I. Allah created that for each one of us. Each one of us have a Lord. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Each one of us have a Lord. What is that Lord? Our conscience. God created it. And it's pure. It's in its purity. Not our subconscious, something that we might put somewhere, but that which is in us, that we can't feel. We don't know where it comes from, but it comes from our creator. That's why we say Allah is Akbar, the best to create. The best to create. We have a reward with our Lord. My Lord is your Lord. Your Lord is my Lord. But your Lord and my Lord is not the Lord, the Lord of all, the creator of all, that created us all. So I'm not any partner or any comparison or anything like unto the creator of the heavens and the earth. Not just human beings, mountains, rivers, stars, galaxies. How in the world are we going to be, have sense, have enlightenment, if we put ourselves in the dark and say God is a man, and God came down into the, onto this earth, a little speck in the universe? How are we going to be intelligent and using our faculties, this great gift, and lower ourselves to some idea that God had to lower himself and come down on a speck in this whole universe and have a son to save the world? It's tough a lot. Lord have mercy, my mom would say. But nothing being ridiculed, no ridicule, but it's the truth. We have to look at the things in order for us to grow. Allah created us that we may grow and have life, abundant life. And we cannot have abundant life if we're thinking God is a man, a human being that had to come down to save the world. So that's a reward. If we believe such a thing, what kind of reward are we can kind of figure what kind of reward we have for that. If we believe such a thing, then that's the reward that we have. One person said that he heard someone say about God, as far as God being a person, and then God is a person that looked like a long time ago. Is a Caucasian. They put an image out, a Caucasian image of the slave master that looked like the one that looked like the slave master, and it says that if this was God. I mean, the question, just simple little question, if this is God, God is this, then why, how in the world can God be the powerful one, and then he was killed and crucified by something that he made? It doesn't make sense. So we have to make sure, we wouldn't even know our own selves. If we believe such and such, that means we don't know our own self. Did who created us? So we're talking about getting the reward. Hold firm to faith. Faith is what? In the truth of matters. To get out the best reward from your Lord. That we can be pleased and we can be at peace with our own self when we realize this and we act accordingly. So we have a reward from our Lord. And on them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. No fear, nor grief for those who work righteous deeds, who work righteousness, who do right and have right thinking and not going outside of the nature and the purpose that Almighty God designed for us. So we pray Allah's mercy be upon us. We pray that we understand. And he bless us to be the best of what he has created us to be. I mean. Then the second part, Bismillahi Rahman Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. The believer, Allah says he created, he revealed this book to for those who believe, and it's for those who don't believe. It's for what? It's good news for those who believe, and it's warning for those who do not believe, who reject faith. It's warning for them. Isn't that mercy? Isn't that mercy? Allah have a warning to help and to direct those who disbelieve. So it's a warning, and it might not be good news. It's good news. It's good news to the believer, and it's warning to help us get back on the right track. And we know this. We know this by the punishment sometimes. If I'm committing a crime, I'm stealing a car. To get back on the track, I'm going to have some kind of fear of something in order to stay away from doing what's not right or what's going to cause me to have problems. So we need to always make sure that we are being conscientious of what it is and who it is we are, who we are, and establish the best for ourselves. So believers, this is good news. For those who disbelieve, it is a warning. And the warning will help us get back. If I warn that there's a danger somewhere, then I'm on the lookout for it. How am I on the lookout? I'm on the lookout because Allah has given us the greatest gift, intelligence, faculties to reason and see and make sense of things, for guidance, so that we can stay out of harm's way. Allah, isn't this merciful? This is merciful. The reward from your Lord. Your Lord will reward you. I might not know anything about it, your reward. But you know it because Allah has made it that way for us. We know we can be at peace, but we can be at peace with ourselves because of what we've done. All praise is due to Allah. We can read on, and this is such a wonderful book. The Bible itself, the Bible is a wonderful book. Read and understand. Read with understanding. Do not just read anything and just accept it. Hook, line, and sink. Without digesting it, just like the food we get, we don't take a bite off an apple and just swallow it without digesting it, breaking it down so it'll be beneficial. That's what our senses do for us. It takes in and makes sense of things. It makes it work for us, benefits us. Information, things that I see. Take it in with the best way so it'll be beneficial. Whatever I hear, take it in. Break it down. With what? With intelligence. Allah created us, the human being, the most intelligent of his creation. And he's given us that free will, that limited free will, to earn the pleasure, earn the best. To rise to the highest of the highest, because we make the best choices. We're using our intelligence the way that Allah has designed. Why? Because Allah said it. Allah said, "I know what you know not." That's the one who didn't want to bow to the Adam, the angels. And believe me, some of us think we're angels. There's those who think, you know, look at themselves and looking at themselves as an angel. I do it right all the time. I'm holy. I'm holier than thou. But that the angel bow. An angel bows to that which is to. In fact, the angels are for the benefit of humanity, of human beings. They're useful for human beings. Isn't this voice useful to me? That Allah created to do what it's doing? To make this voice and to learn the language of it? Use words? Whatever I see? Isn't Allah blessed? Didn't Allah bless me to make sense of it by studying it and telling it its name, giving it a name, or knowing its nature? Know the nature of things. This is the way we get the best reward. The best reward from our Lord. And that's how we can remain, we can strengthen our faith. By strengthening our faith. Strengthening the faith by obeying. Obeying the good common sense that Allah has given to us. Break things down. Use our faculties for the best that Allah has created us for. So we are grateful to Allah. We thank Allah for your presence. We pray his mercy be upon us and that we strive our utmost to learn and study our religion and establish it wholeheartedly into our lives. Ameen. Salat. Comment salat.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya al-salat, hayya al-salat. Hayya al-salat, hayya al-salat. Qad qamat as-salat, qad qamat as-salat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Allah, we do intend to make two rakat for Salat al-Jumah for thy sake and to please thee. Allah, forgive us our sins. Allah, open the doors of thy mercy unto us. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta 'alayhim. Ar-Rahim Adubi Alayhim Walidawin. Amin. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Walafra. Inna insan alafi kushi laladina aminu wa aminu solihat. Watuwasol bilhaq. Watuwasol bilsabr. Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamada.
Na
laka ham. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu
Akbar. Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta 'alayhim. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Kul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Sami Allahu liman hamada.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Dua, Allah make Muhammad successful and the followers of Prophet Muhammad successful. Zadid make Prophet Ibrahim and the followers of Prophet Ibrahim successful. Surely is honored to praise and magnify. Allah exalt Muhammad and the followers of Prophet Muhammad. Zadid exalt Prophet Ibrahim and the followers of Prophet Ibrahim. Surely is honored to praise and magnify. Allah make us keep our prayer and our children too. Allah accept our prayers. Grant your protection to us and to our family and to the faithful believers on the day of the reckoning will be taken. Ameen. Surah 2 of the Fatiha. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawm Al-Din. Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Ihdinas Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Ladhina An'amta Alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim walidhdallin. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
All right, we'll make up soon, and we'll come back on the other side. We'll make sooner, and we'll come back on the other side.
I pray you are able to hear me. I apologize if I was on mute. Everyone, they're making the personal prayers. Then the imam will return, and local activities will be shared. And then we will hear the commentary from you, and if anyone wants to address anything, and then... in the commentary of Imam Warthi Muhammad, Rahimullah.
And all those on the line with, on that line, we pray Allah's mercy and thank Allah for you and your presence. At this time, we usually have a comments, anyone have comments or questions about anything that you'd like to, or comments you'd like to make today for the khutbah for this date. The floor is open for anyone who have a comment or question.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Praise be to Allah. This, President Biden, he left office and he said that they got all these people, the rich people, they're in there, and that, and it's gonna be a breakdown of the society. So before Trump come in, I wanna give him something too. Politically dead, people free, are we safe? Revelation motivate, common sense escape. Is it too late? Real fate down in the dump, too much fun. Why you got a gun, glistening from the sun? Can't fulfill obligation, need to have a conversation, another perception, peace connection, another association, mutual consultation, a sad election, slaughter better than oppression. No mercy, chaos in the street, no peace, children need to eat, Trump bringing in the crew. Let's do what we were created to do. It's our turn, we must be firm. The political mafia trying to take over America. Trump in the game, insane. It's about money, glory, and fame. A bunch of fools at the voting booth. Everybody plays the fool sometimes. They really cross the line out of their mind. The truth is the logical conclusion for soul pollution. No respect for the Constitution. Democracy, where's the mercy? A lot of secrecy. The games people play and people's lives are at stake. We won't run away. We have our lives in interfaith. Let's roll our sleeves up. And God, we must totally trust. Crime on the rise. More suicide. Let's help others to survive. Politicians, deception and lies. Trump and his animal. Don't think rational. Can't forget the Capitol. Mentally sick. A bunch of ignorant racists calling themselves patriots. We are free citizens of America. They can't destroy our intelligentsia. Knowledge without mercy punishes people. Show them pure love. And we share with them what we know. Our inherent life. Nature is community establishment, generational wealth, and common sense, two of our best friends. God is going to increase thy wealth as our social life improves. Let's continue doing what we were created to do. Good deeds we can't lose. Humility and prayer, doing our share because we care. We avoid brain talk, helping humanity out of insanity. That what we are taught, helping the homeless. We have God consciousness, going along with going on with all this cleaning of this world's mess. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good deeds, I tell you. Hit the nail on the head. Good deeds. We get rewarded for all deeds. And if the good or bad, we're going to get our rewards for accordingly.
Okay.
So alhamdulillah, and Allah, we say Allah is Akbar. Nothing. Allah is Akbar. Nothing. We can say Allah giving us the free will, but then we got the responsibility, and we're going to have a consequence for that free will, for what we've done.
Right.
So Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. Thank you very much, Bilal, the poet. Anyone else? Comments? Sister Nile, anyone you liked on the line?
Let me check. Assalamu alaikum out to everyone, and Jumma Mubarak to everyone as well.
Jumma Mubarak.
And I'm bored here. Anyone wanting to make comments, please press 1. Yes, we do have a hand. 323-867. This is the Quran from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. I keep hearing, you're talking about Trump. And I said to myself, there's a saying, how do you beat Satan? You beat Satan through his schemes. And right now, he's talking about, and he's a businessman, and he's talking about giving out grants. So right now, just right here, this station is a business. Put your grant in. That money belongs to us. He ain't giving us nothing. That's what he's supposed to do. So put it in and get that money. He's in now. That's how you beat Satan. You beat him through his schemes. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. That's very good. That's very true. We look at we say so much about what they doing. They doing that and them and them, but we never say we and us. So it's we and us, what we do. What I do, what we do, and it's about us. Alhamdulillah. Anyone else?
That's our money. I'm just saying that's our
anyone
money.
Else? I mean.
I mean.
Anyone else? Press 1 on your phone if you have any comments. If you're standing close to your anything sending close on your heart and your mind that you want to share. Okay, seeing none, I think, we do have 478-672. This is from Georgia. Is this Lala? Haja Lala. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah. I was enjoying the cookbar as well. I'm on my way to Juma now. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The Imam W.D. Muhammad had mentioned many years ago, probably many of you heard this, that if we take anything for schools from any government, they're controlling our schools, and we don't need that. We need to control our own schools, the Clara Muhammad schools. As-salamu alaykum, and Jumu Mubarak to everyone.
Wa alaykum as-salam. That's our support. Alhamdulillah. It's our money, as it says. It's our money, so it ain't taking nothing from somebody else that
That's
don't
right.
belong to you. But alhamdulillah, we support our own. That's for sure. Thank you, Allah. Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, and we have 914434. Muhammad Sharif from New York.
Assalamu alaykum,
Muhammad. Mount Vernon, there you go.
Mount Vernon.
Yeah, thank you for your lecture, Juma, buddy, ma'am. We have to remember, we take money from anybody else, we're going to have control of our community. So we'll go with you, ma'am. We're not going to take money from any of them. They're not going to have any say-so in our community, especially in education. Nothing to say. We don't want their money. We have many people in this community that Imam Muhammad opened the door for them, especially those in the prison services, chaplain and all that. Imam opened the door for them, said to them to give up some of the money that they have gotten by Imam opening the door for them. We don't need anybody else's money. People are always telling us how many trillions of dollars that we have in our community that we'll give to other people. So give it back to ourselves. Don't take no money from them. That's what I'm like. Thank you for taking my comments.
And delilah. As-salamu alaykum.
Yeah,
let me just clear up something, okay? See, because that Imam Ward Duham is not talking about that, because I talked to him myself. What he's not talking about that. If you, when you go to the store and you pay taxes, that's your money. That's the money that he's talking about, the one that you pay. That's the money that you be getting. That's your money. If you don't want to take no, if you don't want your money back, then don't pay taxes and know who they give that money to. If you don't take it, they give it to the immigrants. Now, that's not their money because they're not paying taxes over here. They get the loan, and then they go back to their country. That's what they do, and that's what they do. I'm telling you, that's not the – because I talked to you, man, word to him myself. That is the money you – that tax money, that 7 cents that you pay on the dollar, that's yours. Now, you go to the store and just pay your – don't pay that 7 cents, and then that's not your money. As long as you pay tax, that's not your money.
Allahu Akbar. Look, and we Allah gave us faculties. Use them wisely.
and let me tell you one thing. And see, that's what they started from. Even the money that the welfare, our children, the people that don't have that have children, they own welfare. That's where that money comes from. You pay for that. That comes out the tax money. And the Caucasians have been doing it, and they've been using our money until we start reading. And we start reading. We say, wait a minute. But they was using it all the time.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. Well, alhamdulillah, we're glad for your comments. But we really, since we had a time to be grateful in Miami just a couple of weeks ago, it is really just – you've kind of really dawned on us more and more now to see how much money that we're giving outside, paying outside of our own selves as far as hotels and, places. So that's why I say we need to do what we need to do in order for us to not keep going back and serving, I'll say sharecropping, I'll put it that way. All right.
Alaykum as-salam. Thank you, everyone, for your comments. We're going to let Tampa Bay and Muslim Association share local activities. Everyone, you know what weekend this is, and we know that this is the month of Rajab, and the mercy of Allah has been noted. As Muslim is studying, this is the month. It says Allah's month. Peace be upon him. The Rajab, the seventh month, is Allah's month. The eighth month is the month of profit, and the ninth month is the month of the community. So we take that in heed to say these 2 months before Ramadan, glorifying Allah is always at our in our heart and at the forefront. But we study more about the Mihraj, the ascension of the prophet, and why that ascension was taken and what does it mean. So praise be to Allah. Back to you, to Temple. Imam Abdul Salam Hamid.
Okay, we thank again Sister Martha Nyla for sharing with us today, and we pray Allah bless you to be successful in all you do of good. Thank you very much.
I mean, and we will hear their local activities, and then we'll go to the commentary of the
okay, at this time, we'd like to Ali, if you make a comment, and then local activities, please. But you remember, Ali?
Yes. Yeah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As always, we are grateful and thankful to Allah, highly glorified is He, for enabling us to come together on this wonderful day. And we thank Allah, okay, for always being in the presence of the believers there. And we always look forward to hearing the words from Allah. Highly glorified is He, to hearing the words from Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to whom the Quran was revealed from 1,446 years ago. And we look forward to hearing always the wisdom of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And, you know, we just like to say, especially for those of us who evolved from the small idea about God and man, et cetera, during the, Nation of Islam. And Allah blessed us to evolve from that and to our universal thinking. And that was brought about through the effort of our beloved Imam W.D. Muhammad. And it's very disturbing to me to hear some of, the messiahs and sinners who benefited from that effort. Now, you don't hear the language of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And if we don't hear that language, then we see problems and what have you. So, alhamdulillah, Allah bless Imam with the message. And he shared that message with us. and always to hear a wonderful message coming from a wonderful messenger. So we thank Allah for dear brother, Imam Abdul Salam Hamid, for bringing a wonderful message today. He talked about faith, the importance of faith. And regardless of our situation, we should always hold on to the faith in God, our Lord Creator. And as always, sometimes things don't happen the way we would like to see it happen or when, okay? But that doesn't mean we should not hold on to the faith. As Allah says, hold on to the rope that is stretched forward. Hold on to that faith, and we have history with share with us a very difficult time, here in this country, the institution of slavery, and how that existed and how many was persecuted and abused and oppressed. Ancestors, when we study and look carefully, they held on to that faith. They held on to the faith, okay? And in many other parts, the Holocaust, people were taken advantage of, but they held on to the faith. And likewise, we would like to see, the announcement of the ceasefire, and we know a lot of politics and whatever is involved. But when Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, seemed fit to bring about peace, peace would happen. Faith in Allah, should tell us that in time that will happen. And we pray Allah that we be able to witness that. And certainly not only in that part of the world, but in Africa and other parts where their people is being abused and oppressed. And we pray a lot in time that, you know, peace might be, will be restored. And so in the meantime, we have to not forget, regardless of the situation that exists, regardless of how upsetting we may be, regardless of any of that, whatever we do, do not let go of our faith in God. Do not let go of our faith in God. And in time, Allah will bring about, okay, peace and security, you know, for just as he brought about that in this country, he will bring about that in other parts of the world as well. Thank you so much. And may Allah continue to bless us as we all move forward. Thank you very much. God, peace be with you. As-salamu alaykum.
Ali, if you will, before Nyla have to leave, she'll be leaving very shortly, but you can maybe make an announcement about what's going on in the area concerning.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Yeah, and for our dear brothers and sisters who's we listen to AM360, and as Brother Salam mentioned, thank our dear hard-working sister. I just think about the work that she's doing, and I get even tired just even thinking about all the work that she's doing. So praise be to Allah. And let me say to all of our listeners in AM360, she is a product of here from Tampa Bay Area Muslim Association, Kibama. Alhamdulillah. But this week is a very beautiful week. It's a busy week and a historical week that has taken place here in our country. And began with us here in the city, our wonderful city of St. Pete, some activities beginning tonight through Monday, okay, observing the life and effort of our dear brother, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his fine work. May Allah, you know, forgive him his error and grant him the highest form of the paradise for his great work. But on Sunday, here in the city of St. Pete, at 4 p.m., we will be observing the annual Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King interfaith service at 4 p.m., where members will be gathered from the community, okay, at a church downtown St. Pete, where we will hear reading, prayers, music, et cetera. And so the involvement would include members of the community, including members of our faith, Islamic faith, would be a part of that. And on that Monday, after the breakfast, there's a breakfast that Monday, early Monday morning, and around about 11 a.m. Monday morning, there will be a parade. It's a parade. We have one of the largest parades in the country. Take place right here in the city of St. Petersburg. And this year, we are members of the faith community, from various faith leaders and members from our community of various faith, will be marching behind the mayor of our city. He will be leading the faith community in the parade as we, march, you know, to promote. Okay, the awareness of the legacy and history and the contribution of our dear brother and leader, one of our leaders, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it's very important, okay, when we celebration, having a good time is okay, but remember, but let's not forget, you know, what he was about, and he was a man of faith. Okay, he was a man of faith. Okay, so regardless of the situation that took place, and he went through a lot and others, but they held on to the faith. So that's to let us know, you know, the power of faith. So that will take place on Monday, and we thank Allah that we have been able, you know, to be a part of that. February the 4th. We would have a State of the City of St. Petersburg address that we have annually, okay, by the mayor of our city, and we I will be involved in that. I will be one of the prayer leaders who lead prayer for that wonderful event. And on February the 19th, on the steps of City Hall, the mayor of our city will be reading and presenting a proclamation, okay, to the Islamic community on the beginning of the month of Ramadan. So, alhamdulillah. And then lastly, on March the 18th at 6 p.m. will be the citywide, the city of St. Petersburg, citywide seventh annual iftar dinner will take place downtown St. Petersburg, where 800 to 900 or more members will come out, and we will have the annual iftar dinner where we sit down, we come together, breaking bread together as brothers and sisters, promoting peace, love, and compassion for all of humanity. So we thank Allah, okay, for blessing us to be able to be a part of this great work, and may Allah continue to bless us, and then we encourage others, you know, in your area. If you're not involved, please get involved. And if activities that are taking place for the betterment of humanity, join in and give support. Thank you so much. As-salamu alaykum.
This is Ali. May I add something to your comments, Imam?
Go ahead.
Okay. Don't forget that we're rolling right out of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebration, and the end of January 31st, we're going to kick off the raising of the flag at City Hall for Black History Month, and another really popular event that's happening in Edenville, Florida, is the Zora Neale Hurston Festival weekend. So if you haven't heard about Zora Neale Hurston, look her up and see what some of the activities that are going on. But those are two events that you could possibly add to your calendar.
Alhamdulillah. That's so very much. You know, one thing I would just like to say, and not only the man Muhammad and his views, but there was others who certainly, agree with him and his statement. You know, there was a lot of effort in put forward, you know, after the death of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, shortly after his death, that became an effort to promote giving some kind of recognition, okay? And it took a while. It didn't happen overnight. But, you know, we began with faith. Faith, we can't get away from that one. But faith kept motivating people to be steadfast in promoting and pushing to have some kind of recognition. And in time, in the 80s, okay, then President Ronald Reagan signed into law, okay, a national day, okay, a national holiday recognizing the work and effort of our dear leader. But Imam and others thought it would have been more beneficial if that effort would have been towards recognizing all, okay, recognizing all, having a day, a month, or what have you, a week or 2 weeks or whatever, okay, recognizing all outstanding individuals. That was many. And as our sister just pointed out, okay, Zora Neale Hurston, and there was many others. You can Malcolm, and you ought to be like Muhammad, and you can just go on and on. But having some kind of recognition, okay, of our outstanding individuals who made a wonderful contribution for the betterment of this country. But alhamdulillah, Allah knows best. So, but we certainly, as she pointed out, we certainly want to make sure that we recognize and be aware and get involved and give our support, okay, to activities honoring, okay, and giving recognition for these outstanding and many other outstanding individuals. Thank you so much for bringing that to our attention.
All right, again, thank you, Sister Martha Nyla, for having us today. Thank you very much. Allah bless you.
Thank you. And alhamdulillah, if I may mention, too, Denine N. Wyman was on this morning asking for mentors, especially in Pinellas County. But She did address that wherever you are, you can be a mentor by way of Zoom. That's spending 30 minutes with a student. And those students, once you become a mentor, those students get in line to receive up to $36,000 to help them go on to college. Now, this is from K to 12, but when you go to their website, www.pcsb.org, that's www.pcsb.org, and it will, and you can put /mentoring, and it will come right to the area that you want to fill out your information. We can't stress enough, this is mentoring with students all across the board, inshallah. Pinellas County School Board is addressing that particular strategic partnership is what it's under, and she's their supervisor. So we don't want to miss out on participating in the doing of good in our communities, inshallah. That's just one area, and CWSC is connecting by way of the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiative, Faith, Family, Fasting, Function, and Freedom. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Now we're going to go over to listen to commentary of Imam Warsi Muhammad, Rahimullah Ulay. And we thank Allah for Tampa Bay Area Muslim Association for everything that's coming up and all that we've been connected with over the last 50 years and the 50-plus legacy for Imam W.D. Muhammad. If you're in the area and you're connected now through the conveners and other organizations and the leadership connection with Imam W.D. Muhammad, please, please continue. All right. Alhamdulillah. Hamid, assalamu alaikum to everyone there.
Alaikum assalam. Juma Mubarak.
Juma Mubarak. All right, everyone. Now we're here. We're going to tune into a presentation from Imam Warsi Muhammad, Rahimullah Ulay. And for those who may say, I've heard that before. This is from Organizing the Resources for Productive Community Life. All right, Organizing Resources for Productive Community Life. And this was from July 2nd, 1998.
The following lecture, titled Organizing Our Resources for Productive Community Life, was recorded on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Tuesday, July the 22nd, 1998. The lecturer is Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. And now, Imam Muhammad. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. As we say in Islam, peace be unto you, assalamu alaikum. We praise God, the one and only Lord and keeper of this universe, whatever is in the skies and whatever is in the earth, made by him, and he keeps the order of everything. And he is only God, and he is the only God. There is no other God except the one that made all this beautiful world above our heads and all around us possible for us, made us, the human beings, a special creation with potential above all the other creatures that he made. We are able to do things that no other thing in the creation is able to do, and that is change our life to suit ourselves, make choices, independent, free choices. We can be what Allah wanted us to be. We can be what the God wants us to be. Or we can change our mind and say, hey, I don't like what I am. I'm not going to be what God made me to be. I'm going to be something different. So God gave us the freedom because we're so special. Gave us the freedom to choose to be even something he doesn't want us to be. God knows that most of us will soon get tired of doing something that's not best for us, and we will come back to what he wants. And the world sometimes looks like it's lost, and there's no way to get people to think sanely, or to think sensibly, or to think righteousness, or to think obedience to God. And all of a sudden, something happens in the world, and things begin to change. And pretty soon we are looking at that bad time as a time that has passed. And believe me, in the 70s I was really worried. I was troubled by the way people were behaving, even by the way the establishment was behaving. I thought the establishment, the newspapers, the media, the magazines, the major magazines, the TV, the television, Hollywood, I thought these media instruments, these mass media instruments, were really feeding disobedience, encouraging disobedience, disobedience to God, disrespect for God, disrespect for sacred things. I felt the media had a big hand in that, and I was so angry and I was so uptight that I just wanted to scream. I saw a movie once, and the fellow in the movie, he said, "Stop the world, I want to get off." And I'm telling you, when he said that, I cheered. I did two claps in the mood because I felt the same way. I felt that the world was no good for me anymore. I wanted to stop. I wanted to get off this world, be separated from this world. And all of a sudden, these people start changing for the better. And that's the time we're living in now. We're living in a time when respect for God is back. Respect for parents is back. Respect for human life is back. These things are back now, and this is a good time to be living in. This is a good time to say yes. We thank God for life. We thank God for all the possibilities that we enjoy in this life. It's time for Muslims to say, yes, we thank God. We thank God for our religion. We thank God for our holy book, the Quran. We thank God for Muhammad the prophet, who was on this earth preaching to human beings when no one else would turn his people around, turn them away from idol worship, turn them away from shameful behavior in the main areas of the town. They would go in the center of the town. They would go in the heart of the town. They would go right in the heart of the town, what we call downtown. And they would go there and march around the Kaaba, a house, a sacred house, in the nude. And the society was accepting that they behaved that way. They were marching around the sacred house naked. That was imposed upon them by the wealthy people. The wealthy people say, the poor people, you have to go around it naked. We wear clothes, you have to go naked. So it was a very, very bad time for good behavior. And Muhammad the prophet was chosen. So Muslims, you should be happy to say, we thank Allah for Islam. We thank Allah for the Quran, our holy book. We thank Allah for Muhammad the prophet that broke that ugly time and changed the trends in the time of dark Arabia, ignorant Arabia, and made it possible for us to have Islam. God's mercy to us, Muhammad the prophet, and his mercy to all the world. And we should be proud of that, that God says of Muhammad, he's not just for Muslims, he's a mercy to all people. He's a mercy to all the world. And that God said of our sacred place in Mecca that we look to and we pray to there, we pray toward that place, it's our center, our direction in prayer, and we make pilgrimage there once a year if we can afford to. We go there and I'm planning to make a minor visit called Umrah very soon. I'll make Umrah there, inshallah. We make the visit to that sacred house and we circle that, go around in a circle, circling that sacred house and complete the rituals there. And we feel great about that. But we have to understand that God says of that house, of that little simple sacred house, God said that it was built for all people, not just for Muslims. That it was built for all mankind. It, as a symbol, holding great meanings for all human beings on this earth, it was built for all mankind, for all people. So Muslims, we can't be so selfish that we live Islamic life without any recognition or any awareness that we have to live a life not only for Muslims, but a life for other people too, for our Christian neighbors, for non-Muslims. We have to live so our life is a contribution to all people, a good contribution to all good people. That's how we have to live. Muhammad the prophet said, to support what I just said to you, I mean, giving you the words of our prophet, Muhammad. Muhammad said, the best of you is the one who benefits all people, whose life and works benefit all people, who is most helpful to the people. That's the one who's the best of you, according to Muhammad the prophet. If you want it in Arabic, I'll give it to you in the words that he said. He spoke not English. خيركم من ينفع الناس. خيركم من ينفع الناس. The best of you is the one who is helpful to all people, whose life and works benefits all people. So we witness that God is God, and He's the one, and there is no God with Him and no God other than God. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed better than 1400 years ago, is the last of the prophets mentioned in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament. He is, according to the teachings of our holy book, the Quran, he's mentioned in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the Bible, and that we witness that he is a mercy to all people. Rahmatan linnas, mercy to all the people. We witness that he is the seal of the prophets, according to the teachings of our holy book, that he is the seal of the prophets. He is the last of the prophets and the seal of the prophets. May prayers and peace be upon him. Amen. As you say, amen. We are going to have a question period where you ask questions, direct questions to me, according to what you have heard. If you have some questions about it, ask me questions. Now, that's why I'm here. I'm here to talk to you and have you ask questions, but direct your questions to what I'm saying or to what I have said. And please try to remember correctly what I have said before you give me the question. Be sure you are asking a question with a knowledge of exactly what I said. So many times people come up and they say, "You said that." I say, "Said what? I never heard that before." And they listen to me and still get up and say, "You said." I say, "Hey, I never heard that before." So be sure you know what I say. And remember what I say exactly as I said it, and then ask your question about it. Now, if you want to ask a question about something outside of this talk and outside of this visit, I will accept that, but I expect you to ask questions directed to what I have said or to what I'm saying, and not the Muslim world or the Muslim community of America or Imam Debedin Muhammad, what he did last year or 50 years ago. I don't expect questions like that. But if you have to ask a question like that, I will try to answer it. I'll try to do my best to answer it. Now, what is this concern that we have for Muslims or for people, not just Muslims, for people organizing their resources so that we will have more productive communities? The future of the world, the way things are moving, the way the world is moving, tells us that citizens everywhere, not just here in Milwaukee or in Chicago where I come from, but everywhere in the world, citizens are going to have to accept more responsibility for their lives and for the life of the community that they live in. That's the way the world is going. And I believe that's in accord with what is in Scripture, both Quran and Bible, both the book, Holy Book of Muslims, the Quran, or Quran as they say in English, and the Bible, tells us that a time is coming when individuals are going to have to accept more responsibility for themselves. Language that you recognize as Christians, the Bible says, "Every tub shall sit on its own bottom. Everyone shall have his own vine and fig tree." So this is the Bible, and in our holy book, God says, "No bearer of a burden can bear the burden of another." In other words, your burden is your responsibility. I may help you, but your burden is still your responsibility. And by me helping you does not excuse you from your responsibility. So you have somebody who's lazy. They won't wake up at 7 o'clock, and they know they're supposed to get up at 7 o'clock and get ready to go to work and be to work at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. And you volunteer to see that person is awake and go and help them push them onto the washroom and help them get out that door. Well, in the world, you help that person be successful. But when it comes to judgment day, when all of us are going to have to answer before God, that is not going to excuse that person. God is going to say, that credit goes to the person who woke your lazy up.
every morning at 7 o'clock and pushed you to the washroom. That credit goes to them. Where's your credit? And if you don't have any credit, you know you're not going to get the great blessing of paradise, according to the teachings of both books, Bible and Quran. Yes. So how are we going to survive now in this world that's coming, and it's already on us, really, that's asking more of us, that we be responsible for more in our own life and in our neighborhoods or in our communities? How are we going to prepare for it? I think we should prepare for it the same way that all other great efforts were made to improve the life of community and to improve the life of individuals in community. Those efforts was made by organizing the resources of the people and bringing people together who have similar resources, similar concerns, similar sensitivities, bring them together. We have to learn the example of Muhammad the Prophet and prophets before him, like Jesus Christ, peace be upon them, who selected certain people, and those people became their close acquaintance. Those people became their close friends. Those persons were selected out of the many people to be their companions, to help them in their life and in their life work. Well, all of us have to do that. That's human nature. When I was a boy, there were some boys I wanted to be with more than I wanted to be with other boys. So I ended up with two or three friends that were my very close friends that I went out with almost every day. I saw them every day. We came very, very close. I know their names right now. Their names in my mind right now, so clearly, because that's how close we were. Yes. So all of us have to do that. But we have to do that not only in the name of pleasure or in the name of fun. We have to do that in the name of survival and progress. Survival and progress. In the name of survival and progress, each of us should say, who makes the best company for me? Who has sensitivities like mine? Who thinks like I think? And if we start mixing like that, but if you're not selective, and that's the greatest power God has given us, the power to make choices, independent choices, to use our reasoning, to use our rational mind and make independent choices for the better. So we have to select these people that we're going to have as our buddies and our friends. I'm not telling you to put down your friend that you've been friends with for 10 years. That's your business. But if I were you, and if I was going to look at friends, my friends, and say, now who's more like me in his sensitivities? Who feels about things the way I feel about things? The good, bad, ugly, beautiful, life, death, pain, pleasure. Who feels like I do about these things? And if that one who's been my friend for 10 years, I found out that he doesn't feel the way I feel about things, and he doesn't seem to be going in the direction that I want to go in, I would have to put an X on him. Now, I ain't talking about Malcolm X. I'm talking about just the X means out, crossed out. I'd have to cross him out. I can't go. I can't go with you now. The world is asking for us to accept responsibility. The future depends on me accepting more responsibility in my life. I want a condition so I can make progress. The best condition for progress is when you have the best environment for progress. You don't have a good environment for progress when you got people working with you and playing with you and living with you every day, occupying your time from morning until night. You're spending your time with them, and they're pulling in one direction and you pulling in another. You never make any progress because you're in the company of people who always want to go left and you want to go right. You have to change that. You have to select friends to survive and make progress. And we have to select workers to survive and make progress. We who have responsibility for work in the community or for work in our home, we have to organize the home, and then partner up with those who feel more like you feel in the home, in the family. That's what families are supposed to do. You may have five brothers and four sisters. All 10 are not going to agree. All 10 are not going to be the same, but there'll be a partner in that family for every one of you. I've never seen a family where somebody didn't have nobody to partner up with if they wanted to partner up with somebody. In my family, I had my brother, Herbert, and I had my brother, Elijah Jr., and I had my little brother, Akbar, that I partnered up with. I could partner up with any of those three. The rest of them, they were so far away from me, I couldn't communicate that very well with them. But with those three, I could communicate, and we partnered up. So we always can find good partners for survival and progress. We have to organize our resources. What resources? The first resource that you have is your human feelings. That's your good resources. To have good human sensitivities, to have good, sensible, sane human feelings. That's a great resource. Great resource. Believe me, that resource keeps you out of a lot of trouble. That great resource keeps you from suffering a lot of losses. So if you have good sensitivities, if you have good feelings, then treasure that. You're a good person. And you should be with good people. And you should be partnering up with good people. That's a great resource. But you're also brilliant. You're bright. You're intelligent. You make C's and no F's. That's good. You thought I was going to say A's, huh? You make C's and no F's. That's good. I know a great president of the United States, maybe one of the most productive presidents of these United States. They say that that president's grade average was a C. Not B, not A, a C. But he turned out to be a terrific guy. Sometimes the school environment doesn't bring out everything that's in you. So a student will be making a D or a C or an A or B or, what, or B or something, and they probably could do much better in a different situation. So always it is not the grades you made in school that really tell what possibilities are you, what you were qualified for or what possibilities you could have. Not always the right criteria. So he was a C and a very great president, a very, very productive president, outstanding among presidents of these United States. Now, I heard that of John Johnson, President Johnson. No, not John Johnson, correction. Johnson, President Johnson, who died. Lyndon Baines Johnson. I didn't have that on note. I'm so used to trying to talk without. I better bring something out here to look at. Yes, Lyndon Baines Johnson. That's who I'm talking about. I read that Lyndon Baines Johnson was a C average student, but a better than an A average president. We all have to live together. The world has been made all over again. Walls have come down that separated religious communities from each other. Walls have come down that separated nations from each other. We have to live with each other. That means we can't plan without the other people in mind. If I'm going to plan for my future in America, I can't plan without having the others who are planning their future in mind. So Muslims, we want to plan our future in these United States. We want to plan to really develop as a community in Milwaukee, in Racine, in Chicago, in every city where we are populated, where we have some population there. We want to plan to grow in these cities, and we can't have our plan on the table, but also having in that plan respect for the plan of the church people and the synagogue people and others in religion. They're planning too. So we have to plan knowing that they're planning too, and we have to meet with them and get acquainted with them so we can know to the best of our ability. We want to know what are they planning so that we will know how can we complement that plan. How can we be a complement to that plan? How can we be helped and not harmed? And we want them to be aware of the things that we share with them in common so that maybe they feel the same way that we feel. We want them to look at what we're doing and say, how can we complement what the Muslims are doing? How can we be a help to the Muslims' plan for their future community life and not a hurt? Then we should be organizing the resources. The people who have the school, elementary school, high school or whatever, as their interest, they have made a career, they're teachers, they're going to be teachers all their lives. They should find teachers like themselves with feelings like they have, with an interest in the students like they have, They should find those teachers, and they should work with the people that they have closeness with. Closeness, who they're closest to, in their feelings and in their aspirations, their feelings and what they want to see for education. They should get with those people and work with those people, combine their resources, organize their resources to make a better contribution to education. We should do this in education. We should do it in business. We're asking that our business people not only work for business for the individual and business for the family. You have to do that. But we want some people who want to do more than that. We want some people who accept responsibility in bigger circles. We want some people who want to see their contribution in business not only benefit themselves and their family, but we want to see people who want to see their contributions benefit the city, benefit Milwaukee, benefit the neighborhood they live in. They want to see more business life in the neighborhood they live in. We want those people to get together and collect and join together like people with like people, people of like sensitivities with people of like sensitivity, people of like aspirations with people of similar aspirations or like aspirations. Get together, combine your resources, and plan to make this life in community a better life. This is what we want to see. And I believe this is the demand of the future. This is the way the future is going to be. This is what the future is asking for. Present and future, future even more. This is what God wants. God wants that. God has not created any of us to be so selfish, to have a good thing, to have it good for ourselves and not care about our neighbors. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, the Muslim who goes to bed with his stomach satisfied, knowing his neighbor's hungry, is not one of the believers, not one of the Muslims. So he didn't say, but your neighbor has to be a Muslim. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, I repeat, he said, if anyone goes to bed with his stomach satisfied and he knows his neighbor is hungry, he's not a Muslim. You're not supposed to go to bed. You're supposed to go find some food and give to that neighbor next door. And the neighbor doesn't have to be a Muslim. The neighbor could be a Christian. So this is the way of God, not just the way of the world, or with the trend of the new world. This is the trend that God wants. And God has brought this about. God created us to have the behavior we have, to have the nature, the behavioral nature that we have. And when wrong punishes this behavioral nature, says, I've had enough. Pretty soon their behavioral nature is going to say, I had enough. I may be the first one to say, I had enough. You may be the first one to say, I had enough. An old man might be the first one to say, I had enough of this world that is going against reason and going against morality and going against God. It might be an old man say that. It might be a teenager that says that. It might be a little child that says that first. But God has made us to say we've had enough when things get too far out of line. So let us think about that and know that God has made each of us very special creation, human beings. There's nothing that I'd rather be than a human being. If God would say to me after learning my place in this world from Scripture, if God would say, well, Wallace, it's not too late. Would you like to be a special angel in the heavens? I'd say, God, will I still be a human too? God says, no, just an angel. No, thank you. I thank you for what you made me, human. And I want to organize my life upon the human pattern that you made. Upon the human pattern that you made, God. And I want to make the best of it. And I want to work with people who share my feelings and my aspirations. Combine resources and make a better place for us to live in. The home, the block, the neighborhood, the city, the world. Thank you. Peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Takbir. Allahu Akbar. Thank God. I would like to thank our Imam for that lecture and for the talk to us. I hope we all benefited from it. That was the lecture portion of the event today. We would like to go into our question and answering period. We did pass out 5x7 cards for people to write their questions down. If anyone has any questions, they can write their questions on the card. First question here we'll read. Question is, what are your views on education in our Muslim schools here in Milwaukee?
I'm not from Milwaukee, so I can't have any particular opinions about the education in the Muslim schools in Milwaukee. But I do know that Milwaukee has always, the Muslims of Milwaukee, have always been, I would say, committed to have Muslim school, Muslim education for their children, to have Islamic teachings for their children, Arabic language, which is the language of our holy book, for their children. And recently there has been an effort to strengthen or improve the school in Milwaukee. Sister Basima Shahid, the wife of Brother Imam Ronald Shahid, has been asked to come here to Milwaukee to be the principal of the school, of the elementary school. She accepted. She has been the principal there. And she's working with others who are supporting the school to better the educational, the Islamic curriculum, the Islamic curriculum for the school. So I don't have any knowledge of any problem except a need for more people with resources, with education skills to join their effort. We need volunteers. Education is very expensive. A poor community. We are not wealthy sheikhs from Kuwait, from the Gulf states. We are not wealthy people. We are poor people from the ghettos of the United States. So we don't have finances to finance our needs in education like others who come here from those wealthy areas of the world. They can finance, and we can't. They can finance their needs, and we can't. So we have to ask for volunteer help. We pay some help. We have to ask for some volunteer help. So I know one of the concerns would be that those who have education, training, and skills and desire to see improvement for the Muslim schools in Milwaukee, we would like for you to identify yourself and come forward so you can volunteer. It's no more than an hour a week or a day a week. Volunteer sometime to help make our school a better school. I say that in the name of our school here and in the name of the principal, Sister Basima, because I'm sure that she welcomes that and she's looking for that kind of help. Yes. Yes, if you could.
Okay, the next question here, how can children help better the community?
Be better children. Same thing for adults. How can adults help the community? Be better adults. We need better adults and we need better children. And one thing I say to the children, I know that I'm almost 65. I'll be 65 soon in this year. And the child in me has never gone away. And I think that's true for everybody. Sometimes I wake up and the child in me is in my mind and on my mind and shaping my thoughts. The child in me. So I would say to you, no matter how young you are, if you know this world is not a good world, good enough for human beings, if you know that your life and your family and your neighborhood is not good enough for human beings, then use your good senses, qualify yourself. If you have a desire to make things better, have the courage to go on and follow that desire and find a way to qualify yourself so that we'll have a better leader in that neighborhood with your manhood than we had with the manhood of those before you. So that's what I would say to the youngsters. Don't be afraid to look at our world and criticize it, to look what we have done with it and criticize it, and hope that you will make a contribution better so that people will have a better life in the neighborhoods and a better world. And remember this also, none of us can carry the world on our backs. We have to have others to help us. know that you're going to need much help, and you're going to have to influence the leadership. You're going to have to impress the newspapers, the media. You're going to have to win friends to your cause. But be brave and have the courage to want to make a better world than the one that you lived in yourself, or the one that you're living in yourself. That's how the world gets better. I was a young man, and I saw the Temple of Islam. They call it the Temple of Islam. And I looked at it, and I said, according to what I'm hearing from my father, it's not what it should be. And that's what made me stand up and be a minister. I became a minister just because of that. Because I looked at my father's congregation, and I said, according to what I'm hearing from him, this congregation is not what it should be. And I was a young man. I was a teenager when I said that.
The next question here is a two-part question. The first question is, I have a hard time always believing in God. What should I do? The second part is, I question whether a book can be a revelation from God. How do you believe in a holy book?
All right. Well, let me say this. Sound like you're reading some pages out of my life story. Because I looked at the God the way that they were telling me God was, and I wasn't satisfied with it. And I questioned God. I'm going to share this with you. I think all of us want to believe in God. I don't believe God created any human being that without a soul. That deep in that soul, there's a desire to want to believe in God and want to obey God. But what is your idea of God? What is God to you? The world that I was born in was called the Black Muslims, or the Temple of Islam. And they gave me the idea of God. And I looked at it and I said, if that's God, then I don't want it. I didn't do it all of a sudden, but in time, I thought about it and thought about it. As I got older, I didn't like it. So I said, if that's God, if God's going to do these things, if that's the way God behaves, I said, now, that's the only God I knew, so I had to speak to that God that I knew. I said, God, if that's your behavior, that's your judgment, if that's the way you are, then I don't want that. I don't like that. I don't want you. I said, when you bring me in your court, I'm going to bring charges against you. That's what I said to God. Now, I'm sharing this. This is something that's hard for me to share with a public audience like this, you know. But I'm sharing that with you. That's what I said, because I wanted to believe in God. I said, well, if that's God, when you bring me in your court, I'm going to have charges to make against you. So that person who's writing that, you keep seeking. You keep questioning. That's what I say to you. Keep questioning. You don't believe, don't believe. Don't believe until you feel comfortable to believe. Don't believe in the scripture. Don't believe in God until you feel in your soul comfortable to believe in that. That's my advice to you.
Next question. At what age or point in your life did you realize that you had to take total responsibility for yourself, family, and community?
I don't know. I can't recall the exact time in my life when that happened. Seemed like it was yesterday. Now, when I say, see, when you say total responsibility, now that's a big part. That's too big. Total responsibility. No, I accept responsibility for my behavior. I accept responsibility for my thoughts and for my behavior. That's what I accept responsibility for. I can't accept responsibility for my family. I can do my best for my family. I accept responsibility to do my best for my family. But to say that I accept responsibility for the state of my family, that I'm going to accept responsibility to keep my family healthy, to keep them happy, to keep them sane, to keep them clean, to keep them active, that's too much for me. We all have to accept that responsibility. They have to accept responsibility for themselves too. So I accept responsibility within limits.
I accept the responsibility for my family, given that they are also going to be decent enough to accept responsibility for themselves and want to share the responsibility that we all have to accept for our family. Yeah. And that goes for the community and anything else. No, I have a limit on how much I can carry. And I expect that my members of my family will respect that and try to do their best too.
Can we as Muslims accept or go to the banking institutions, etc., to get money, loans, with the obligation upon getting the loan, paying interest, or is interest prohibited?
Well, let me first tell you what I've experienced. If you want to go to the bank to get a loan, you better have some collateral. You better have some what they call equity. Yeah, if you don't have something worth money already, you have to show them. If you don't have dollars, you have to show them, I have a brand new Porsche. I have a brand new Jaguar. I have a home. I have a home without a mortgage on it. I haven't taken out a mortgage on it. If you can't show them you have money, they're not going to give you. They're not going to loan you money. That's number one. Now, as far as avoiding the banking system problems with the banking system, avoiding having to get interest, interest compounded, to avoid that, let's get behind the program we got. If you're in this community, we got a business effort going nationwide. Let's get with that business effort, and we can put our monies together, we can invest our monies together, and we can escape the problem of rebate working together as business people.
In greatest respect, what does it mean to be a Muslim? What is the difference between a Muslim and a Christian?
Well, the difference between a Muslim and a Christian, number one, is that Muslims say there is but one God, and Jesus Christ, peace be upon the Prophet, is not the Son of God, but the special creation of God. That's the big difference. The next big difference is the Christians follow Scripture revealed 2,000 years ago, written by apostles on the life of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. Muslims follow the Quran revealed about 14 centuries ago to Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him. These are the major differences. I could keep pointing out to you major differences, but when it comes to what we believe in, we believe in essentially what you believe in. We believe in God. We believe in God's angels. We believe in the revelations that come from from God to his messengers and prophets. We believe in the prophets and messengers and the books and the revealed books. We believe in the day of judgment. We believe in the Qadr of God, that God has ordered this world to give us the benefits that we want if we approach it correctly, and to give us harm if we approach it incorrectly. We believe in all these things. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. We believe that everything has to account before God one day. So these are your beliefs too. These are Muslims' beliefs, and these are your beliefs. So I wish someone had asked, what are the similarities for Christians and Muslims? It would have been a much nicer question. But thank you anyway. That question has to be answered too. What are the differences? I gave you the main differences.
What specific ways can people share resources to improve economic conditions?
Specific ways to share resources to enjoy
economic conditions.
To enjoy better economic conditions. What is the best way to do that? We don't have enough time to really do that question justice. I would simply say, be decent human beings by each other. God has already created us with a human soul and human nature to know when we are not being decent by each other. be decent by each other, and want to see bigger work in the world, more help in the world. If you do that, you're going to join your small efforts so that your small efforts become a big effort. That's what we are doing.
What should be our roles as Muslims, as humans, regarding environmental issues such as projected global warming due to human activities?
Global warming?
Yes, sir.
You mean like the 90s that we're having? Yes. Now, look like those cars are growing. I think they're supposed to get decreasing, and look like they're increasing. Are you pulling some off under the rug or somewhere there? Yes. We're going to have to bring this to a close very soon. Now, global warming. I'm glad you asked the question. I want to tell you something that I have observed. If these automobiles that we like to ride in had never been made, I wouldn't have to sit in an oven 130 to 140 degrees hot until it cools off. So the cost of the invention of an automobile, we sit in these hot automobiles that we go and we're sitting in the sun, it's hot, it's just like an oven. We open the door and open both sides, I open both sides, let the heat out and have to close the door. You can't drive with the four doors open, so you have to close the doors. I close the doors and get in there and oven. I feel the oven. I turn the switch quickly, air conditioning and all, it's blowing, and I'm waiting for it to cool down a little bit. And I thought about that. Look at this invention. Look, this invention has created a situation here where I have to expose myself to these high temperatures often in the day. But what is happening? The high temperature that we're exposing ourselves to in these automobiles is conditioning us to survive global warming. That's God's mercy. I believe God is ahead of us in everything that happens. God is always ahead of us. So God is getting us prepared for global warming. I don't see global warming as a doomsday. I see global warming as God's mercy. This cold Milwaukee is one day going to be warmer. Some other state that has been warm is going to be cooler. Chicago is going to be warmer. Some other state that's been hot in Arizona somewhere, it's going to be cooler. God has to rotate his mercy, as the scriptures say. He rotates his mercy. So don't be frightened by these scientists. Some of them are stone crazy. They're batty as batty and then a bat. Some of them. So don't be worried about their predictions. Believe in God, and that whatever God allows to happen, ultimately, it's going to work for the good of mankind.
Okay, we'll end off with two more questions here. This question says, what does Muhammad got to do with God?
What does Muhammad has to do with God? Now, I'm going to take that personal. My name is Muhammad. What do I have to do with God? I have to obey God. I have to obey God. That's what I have to do with God. Obey God. Respect God. Am I important to God? I'm nothing. I'm a little nothing. And God has given me such respect among people. God has given me such a respect as a human creation in Scripture. God has put a great value on me, and I'm nothing. When I look at God, look at myself, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. What I have to do with God? Nothing. Not important. I'm not important. But God has made me important. God says, "Qad karamna kulli bani Adam." God certainly gave respect and honor to every human child from Adam, descended from Adam.
We are seeking to construct our schools in a more natural fashion than it is now. Would you say a gradual approach is better or a complete change, say, over a summer?
Well, we have to study the needs
study the need, know the need, and know what we have to offer as solutions. And then once we know that, once we know the need and what we have to answer the need, sometimes that says, go at it and go at it speedily. And sometimes what we see will say, take gradual steps. Don't go too fast with it. So I can't say go fast or slow. The situation, once you know it, will tell you whether to go fast or slow.
Okay, and those are all the questions that we'll take. We'd like to thank, once again, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Takbir. Allahu Akbar.
Let me make one final comment.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your brave questions.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-201-9692. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.
And there you have it, everyone. I was taking notes. I mean, taking notes. One thing when we, this is Martha Nyla. One thing when we say what it takes to have a community life, and now we know first on the agenda. If we were all in a room together, which we are, we're in a virtual room, and we had a board to write on, and we all come with our open heart and open mind, and we wrote all consistently shared what did the imam say about the first thing to having a productive community life. And what I wrote was individuals, and he used the word citizens as well, accept more responsibility for their lives. And then we began to categorize what those responsibilities look like. And at the very end, as he was answering in alignment with that, I would say, he said, we have to study the needs. Study the needs. So, you know, in being a more being more responsible than for our community life, whatever we draft as saying, well, we need this in the community, we need this in the community, we need this in the community, and rather than point the finger outwardly, assess ourselves with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, blessed us with. And at one point he mentioned about if we see, let me go to here what I wrote. Let's see. I can't, okay, keep searching. He said, the child in me has never gone away. And, you know, a child is very questioning. A child is very, well, then he says, if you know that your world is not good enough contribution to make the world a better place. So that is in line with accepting responsibility. So I think I know the pointing the finger will diminish no matter what situation is, what our situation is and how it was caused by what. We can choose areas that when we look at, okay, how immediate, how close is the problem? Then what is that problem attached to? And what is that attached to? Then we go and we find the very source of the problem. Otherwise, if we don't get the root of the weed, and we keep cropping the weed, the effect, the root will still be present. So when we go to the root, whether we clear it away, whether we go with the intent to abolish, negate the root that doesn't need to exist in order for our needs or, yes, to exist. So the root of ill will doesn't have to exist in the situation. In a situation, I say it that way because ill will exists in Shaitan, but it doesn't have to exist in our situation at a certain point. So it doesn't stop us from taking on our individual responsibility. And he used the word citizen as well. So citizen has it, that word alone has an attachment. We'll be discussing this more tonight as this week enters into governance. This is the third week of the month. And we've done education economics. And we're seeing the level of Prophet Ibrahim. And how does that align itself with governance, Prophet Ibrahim? And if you have any comments you'd like to share now, I won't take us into deliberation or think tank sessions right now. But if you have any comments you'd like to share, please, by all means, press 1. You can return tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will be moving throughout the community as well, addressing where community activities that have been aligned with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. May Allah be pleased with him, grant him high station in paradise, forgive his errors, activities acknowledging his contribution tonight. So I may intermittently share if I'm able to. Otherwise, though, we will have the sessions going on, the think tank session, as it deals with governance and Prophet Ibrahim. All right. Alayhi salam. Okay, so we have 323. Yes. Put your hand out and come back, as Muhammad just did. Muhammad from Mount Vernon, New York. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad. Muhammad, I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can
My
hear
mic
you
is
now.
Open.
Yeah,
okay.
I was on mute. I was just looking at it, and my wife just reminded me that we're in also prayer time right now, so I thought I would dismissing that.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. It's also prayer time now. Okay, so we can go out with playing the Adhan, huh?
Yes.
Allahu Akbar.
Thank you.
Making this life, this is a livable life, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so very much for acknowledging that. I'll play the Adhan. And everyone follow suit with, and this said silently, so you make your salat, your prayer. And this is acknowledging Almighty God. Remember, this is the month of Rajab. So Imam Warzi Muhammad Ibrahim Allahulay did mention about Muhammad. What is Muhammad? And we can discuss that even more, how that has in praising, giving praise to Almighty God. So before we get into the month of Muhammad, the month of Sha'ban, he said that's his month. So we will, right now, the month of Rajab, Allah, 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 Allah. All right. Everyone, get that. And I'm going to go to it now. I pray I choose one that is clear enough. One moment. Unless someone wants to call the Adhan. Press one on your phone if you do. And then, let's see if this is Abdul Ali Shaheed. Let's see if this is Adhan starting off. If not, then we'll go to another. No, that's the music. I think it's at the end of that, and I can't get to the end of it right now. Oh, God. Let's see if this is it.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة.
Conference call line, and then we will also have available Google Meet that comes out by way of your, you should get a notification, so, and Google Meet will be present on that notification if we have your email, all right? And the number for conference call line is 240-591-0209, and the code 209-075#. And if you want to participate in the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiative, what can we say? The door is open, wide open, community-wide Shura Conference. As the Imam said, find like minds with like minds, and contribute. All right. Assalamu alaikum. We're going to say our prayer, and I'm going to shut off right now and go and make salat to Asr, and inshallah, salat to Maghrib will be right at the evening part as the sun will set. And right after it sets, then we will make the evening salat. Asr is on the decline of the sun. And Zuhr is at just after the apex of the sun, not at the actual apex of it. And Fajr is right at daybreak or just before, but not too far into the night part of it, but daybreak and not at sunrise. We do not do a sunrise prayer worshiping the sun. There are those that worship the sun. We're not worshipers of the sun, but we're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the benefits of the sun and its sharing with us the signs of time, denoting time, that we can conduct our affairs. Praise be to Almighty God. Thank you, everyone. Muhammad, do you have any comments after that?
No, you said it all, sister. No more comments.
Alhamdulillah. Give your wife the greetings for me, Sister Sharifa.
I sure will.
Alhamdulillah. All right. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Sharifa.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
And y'all stay warm up there.
Okay.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, I'll see y'all soon up there in Philly. I'll be in Philly, but come over to Mount Vernon too, inshallah. Okay, everyone.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.